guys, welcome back to a new episode of Beyond the Record. Today I have Naisha. How are you doing today, Naisha?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. So we're going to learn a little bit more about you today. So when did you just get started in singing? Like, what gravitated you towards like pursuing music?
I've been singing for as long as I can remember, ever since I was a little girl. And when my mother bought my first keyboard, which was like the first instrument that ever came into our home, I started learning how to play that. And I started songwriting and creating my songs through writing through the piano. So I've been singing for a long time, probably started around eight. So I joined choirs throughout school and church, and then it just kind of blossomed from there. And I knew I wanted to be a singer.
I love that. If someone was listening to your music for the first time, what are like three words you would use to describe your sound?
I would definitely describe it as melancholy, sultry, and attitude.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that. What are some songs from your own discography that you would give a first-time listener, like, you know, kind of like your starter pack for your own songs?
Absolutely. I would say start with Honestly, which I recently released earlier in July of this year. And then I would go back and listen to The Archives, which was my EP. And I would listen to it in order because I definitely put it in a track list that would tell a story. So I think the listener will get to know me a little bit better if they just listen to it in order. But start with Honestly, because Honestly will make you want to move.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to talk about that later too, so I'm excited. So we've known each other for such a long time, like literally elementary school and high school and everything like that. So I know you recently moved back to South Africa, but you like were born here in Jersey, and you know, you grew up here. Well, born in New York, raised in New Jersey. So tell me about your move and what was the reason behind, if there's any music reason behind you moving back to South Africa.
Yeah, definitely. So the first reason why I moved back to South Africa is because I love it here. Like, I love the people, the culture, the weather. And I'm familiar with it because I went to high school here and I have family this side. So that was the first reason. And then, of course, I was pursuing music and I'm like, well, let's see if I can do that this side as well. And I was looking for a big move out of New Jersey because I was in New Jersey my whole life. And I was gonna actually move to Atlanta. Atlanta was in the cards. And I was really like, okay, I'm gonna make this move. I came to Joburg in December and instantly changed my mind. And I was like, I absolutely want to come back to Johannesburg. So I came back after my vacation. I packed up my things and I was like, I'm going to do this move and I'm going to just focus on music while I'm out here being in the studio. And I also had producers that I was already working with that are based this side. Couple producers in Malawi, a producer in Nigeria. And then when I got here, I started connecting with more South African producers to kind of work on new music and my sound. And so the reasons just kept evolving.
It seems like a perfect match for you, like going over there and then like you have your family, you're already familiar with the place, and then you have like your music connections on top of that. So I think it just, you know, Atlanta has a huge music scene as well, obviously, but it just seemed like for you, like that connection just makes sense, you know?
Yeah, I would definitely say like being in Joburg, like this is my lab. Mm-hmm. I've been in such a creative space since I've been here. I've been here for 3 months. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to connect with like a lot of cool people. And yeah, I just look forward to continuing to do that.
Yeah, I can't wait because you have like such good music. Like literally, I was listening to your last EP and then like your newest song. So we're going to like kind of jump into that right now because The Archives, which is like released in 2021, you kind of, I feel like that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like with that, EP, I got to know you even more, like as an artist. Like obviously I know you as a person, but know you as an artist. So how would you compare yourself in what you learned about yourself during that project?
Yeah, that's a really good, great question. I feel like The Archives was definitely a peek into who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. It had a lot of vulnerable songs on the actual project that it was kind of like me speaking to myself in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. and having an audience kind of have a peek into myself because I'm very introspective. And a lot of the songs that were on that project had been written like over time. And I felt it's great to put new music, but like a lot of people haven't heard the music that I've been writing and been creating. So let me add songs here that I might have written when I was 17 or 18 and then like just add them, which is why the EP is called The Archives, because a lot of that music, you know, was from when I had first started songwriting. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. Cause I feel like I love when artists say that too. Like it's songs that you've written in the past and now you're putting it on this project, because as like the listener, like you really don't know. Cause sometimes you like, luckily I know you, but luckily, like, I didn't know that, like, even knowing you, I didn't know that you've written those songs like in your teenage years and stuff like that. So that's really cool to hear that. Cause I feel like when you make really good music and it just becomes like, you know, timeless in a sense, like time just doesn't exist when you make something that's really impressive for people to listen to. So.
Yeah. And that's absolutely my goal, is to make music that are music that's timeless, but also make classics, music that people can go back and listen to and enjoy. And I really wanted to start off my journey in music with showing where I've been, where I'm at, and where I'm going, and kind of walk listeners through the journey of that. So
yeah, and I definitely can see that with that project too. So which song, if any, from The Archives that you would say resonates with you more now? So like you have Six Shots, you have Say Something, Bittersweet, and three more songs from that project. So which one do you think is kind of represents you present day?
I really love Six Shots. Six Shots is like my classic. It's like the song, no matter where you're hearing it in life, you can resonate and just relate to that level of like upset. And so Six Shots is definitely that song, I would say, that I can still sing it today. And no matter like what, even if I'm not going through a heartbreak or, you know, something like it, mm-hmm. the passion behind the song still really resonates with me.
Yeah, I love that song. That's why I named that one first. So I'm happy. That's one of my favorites too. Yeah, because I like that, because like, yeah, even when you're not going through a breakup or any hardship or whatever, I think honestly, I just really like those type of songs in general. Like, I don't care. Like, I just feel like when an artist is writing from a very like vulnerable place, I just feel like you can just really like attach yourself, even if you're personally not going through those emotions in your own present life, you know? But
yeah. Absolutely. And I would say to like listeners that my music is heartbreak music, yes, but it's heartbreak music and you're not taking anything laying down. Like you're not going to get pushed around and nobody can mess with you. I want people to feel empowered even though they're listening to heartbreak music. So that's what I could say you would get out of listening to my songs, especially a song like Six Shots.
Because I think the key what you said too is like being empowered too. Like you can be upset, you can be frustrated, but then like that still like, you know, I'm still that girl at the end of the day.
Yeah,
exactly. Like maybe they forgot who they were talking to because like not me. Like
not me.
Not me. Like, no, I'm not the one. So I like that. We're going to talk about Honestly Now, which you said like you released early last month. So what was your like, because it's very different than like Six Shots too, but where did you find the inspiration behind that track?
Yeah, Honestly, it was a really fun record to write and work on. And when I wrote it, I was just in a place where I wanted to dance and I wanted to like feel good. And I wanted to just write something different. And I think with Honestly, it's one of those records where like I'm stepping more into the sensual side of my music, where I've always, you know, had that side, even with, you know, my earlier music, but I think I more so was on the melancholy end. And now I'm more exploring just a different side, a different facet of myself, and stepping into that more sensual, seductive side of, you know, my music. So.
Yeah, I like that a lot. What would you describe as your writing process to be, even for that song or just like in general?
Yeah, so it's always different. Honestly, I wrote it in like an hour. I wrote it very quickly. Yeah. And laid the vocals and everything like that, sent the reference to the producer. They loved it and they were like, okay, like this is the one. I'm like, yes, this is the one. And then when I got here to Joburg, I laid down the vocals and I recorded it and then got it mixed, mastered. And I was like, I want to release it immediately. Like I loved this song so much. So my writing process can differ because not all songs are birthed that way in such like a quick process. Sometimes I'll start writing a song and I may not finish it immediately, or I'll write a song that I just have the melody to, but no words yet. Like my voice memos in my phone are, I have thousands of voice memos with just ideas. And so it can honestly vary. And I try to allow myself that freedom to just create in different ways. Like now I'm in the studio and I'm actually, you know, writing while being in the studio, which before my process was kind of isolated, where I would get a beat and then write to it. And everything kind of happens in a silo way. Whereas now I go in the studio and there's no idea to start with, but we start creating everything from scratch and writing everything from scratch. So I'm really enjoying that process now.
No, that's cool. How did you find yourself to, so when you're in this, like when you're in the studio with your producers and everyone, like, do they have any input on your writing, or if you're just like feeding off of like what they're giving to you, like whether it's a beat or melody or anything like that? And like, how have, cause you said that your process before was isolated. So how did you find yourself like being able to like collaborate like in real time with people?
I think collaborating for me has been actually pretty easy too, because I was already in that space where I really wanted to collaborate. And so if my producer has an idea or how, you know, the direction that we're taking the sound, I'm open to it. Or, you know, if I need help with the lyric or writing, I'm open to it. And so, yeah, I really find the collaborative process to be great.
Cool. Because I always hear, like, I feel like as artists, you know, grow in their career, they're more open to collaborating and stuff. Because I know one, I can't recall it right now, but I know one interview I did before, and the artist was just like, yeah, it was a struggle for me to allow someone into like my creative process. So it's kind of like you in yourself, like you're vulnerable in your lyrics. I feel like you have to be vulnerable in your creative process too, to allow someone to be there and, you know, have a say so kind of like, you know, in your music and stuff like that. Cause I know you probably hold it like dear to your heart, you know, when you're creating something.
No, absolutely. It's definitely something you just have to be mentally prepared for. I think when I go into a studio session and I know that I am, because how someone else is hearing it may not be how I'm hearing it. Mm-hmm. You get what I mean? So yeah. I think having that input actually helps me in the process. But then this is also coming from someone who has written so many songs mm-hmm. by themselves. So I think I can appreciate someone coming into my process and giving their opinion and their thought while still like standing very strong and firm. And if I do feel something and needs to stay in the song, then I'm going to say that. I'm going to speak up and just be like, no, we're going to keep it this way. Or, you know, if I'm not sure about something, I have someone else to ask, like, what do you think about this? So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I'm the same way with writing too. Cause sometimes I'm like, I'll write something and then I'll give it to someone who might not like either have expertise in that certain field that I'm writing in. And then I'm like, does this make sense to you? Because at the end of the day, you want people to like read or listen to your music and not be confused. Like you don't want your message like conveyed the wrong way. So when you're giving it to someone, even if, you know, they're not a producer or they're not a singer and they don't know, you know, your actual like process or anything like that, but they're just like a regular person, sometimes like it's the best advice sometimes you can get. I've definitely gotten that from my friends who are just like, wait, what are you talking about? Because you know what you're talking about. Like, you know what you're talking about. But then it's like, everyone else is just like, like, that all makes sense.
And that's so important. And I think in my previous writing, like, well, still I do it, but in the past, before I was collaborating more with others, mm-hmm. I would revise a song constantly. Like I would write a song, leave it alone for maybe months.
Oh, wow.
And then come back to it and see if I still feel good about what I said at that part, or if I could say that part better. So I was kind of my own proofread, or like, you know, grammar check, kind of, so to speak, where if there was something I was saying and it wasn't making sense, I can now catch it because I've left it alone. I've let it breathe. And then now I can come at it with a fresh perspective, mm-hmm. also with a fresh ear, because I'll record mm-hmm. demos and, you know, just jot down the idea and come back to a song and be like, oh, yeah, no, I don't really like that anymore. But like, let's change it up. And that's previously what my process has been, to like proofread my own music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes when you are your own like proofreader or editor, you're kind of hard on yourself too. It's just like, wow, like this is like, and it's okay to like look back at something and be like, oh, this is like not the best. This can be like reworked. And sometimes, have you ever like gone back to any of your demos? Like, wow, I did this. Like, you're kind of like surprised in a way. Cause I definitely do with my writing. I'm like, wow, I wrote this. This is insane. It's actually really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of those moments, especially when I was putting together the archives, right? Mm-hmm. Like there were a lot of demos that I was like, wow, I really love this melody, or I love what I'm saying here, and let me just build upon it. So many ideas that I have end up being just like demos sitting to the side in my laptop. And then when I go back to it, I'm like, I was onto something here. Let me just continue writing it. And then a song is birthed. So, yeah.
That's cool. No, it's a really like good, like, haha feeling. Like when you go back to your work and like, wow, this is like, cool. I did this. I created this. This is so cool. And my last question I have for you for the interview part is like, what can fans expect now that you release Honestly and you have the archives from 21? So what can fans like look forward to from here from you next?
Oh, that's a great question. So listeners can expect to hear more Afro elements in my music. That is something I'm working on here heavily while I'm in Joburg. And of course, more R&B, like R&B is always going to be my staple sound. But definitely experimenting with the R&B and piano vibe and visuals. Like that's been a really big thing that I'm working on currently, is just putting out visuals to my music and dropping more music. Next month, I definitely have another song coming. Yeah. And it's going to be an R&B vibe, but very, very... I can say listeners can expect a mixture of sad songs, but also songs that make you want to move, heartbreak songs, but songs that make you want to like get over whatever is keeping you down.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that sounds good. That sounds right up my alley. That's what I love listening to. So
we need a mix. Like we can't always be sad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I feel like lately I've just been in that space where I just want to dance and move, and like life is light and it's enjoyable. And, you know, there's so much to be grateful for and happy about. So I want to bring those elements of where I'm at in life to my listeners as well. So
that sounds great. I can't wait to hear it, and I can't wait to hear your next single next month. So where can everyone just like follow you to keep up with, you know, your music and your new updates and everything?
Yeah, so it's at I Am Naiche on all platforms. So okay. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, I Am Naiche.
Yeah, you made it easy for us. I love that. Yay. Okay, so we're going to move on to our hot topic segment right now. And we're going to be talking about, you know, maintaining long distance friendships. Because after, you know, you moved back to South Africa, I'm from Jersey. I live in Jersey now, but I lived in Rhode Island for about like 5-ish years and have some friends on like the West Coast and like obviously back in Jersey and more so spread on the East Coast. So I know it's super hard to, you know, maintain those friendships, especially as we're now like going into our 30s soon, and everyone is at different walks of life. So what have you been doing to, you know, keep those relationships still alive and fresh?
A couple things. And I feel very fortunate that even though I moved across the world, my friends still call me like I'm down the street. So, yeah. And it is difficult with the time difference because, of course, I'm 6 hours ahead from Jersey and New York. So it gets a little bit tough, but we've kind of balanced with the time difference. Most times I'll talk to my friends when it's around 12 a.m. my time, which is like 6 p.m. their time, and they're getting off of work. And yeah, so like through FaceTime is like a godsend. I'm always with my friends. I'm not a big texter at all. So my friends just know to call me. My family just knows to like call me and reach out. And then I think communicating my needs too, because it coming to a new place, it has its challenges, right? Because you are figuring out so many different things. It's a culture shock, and you're meeting so many new people, but of course relationships are formed over time. Mm-hmm. And so it's not like you instantly meet someone and then you're friends and then you hang out and you have that same rapport as people back home. Yeah. And so it can get a little bit lonely. And so, but my friends know me. So they're like, okay, let me just call her and check up on her really fast, because I know like she's probably so busy, and let me just reach out. And then I also reach out when I can, but FaceTime is like the thing. FaceTime and then funny memes on Instagram. I feel like that always just brings everybody together. So if I see something funny, I'll just send it to them on Instagram. And then if we haven't talked in a while, it's like, hey girl, like let's hop on a call. Let's catch up.
Yeah. So
it hasn't been too bad with maintaining those relationships.
Yeah, I think it's definitely you both people have to work on it, because like I know my friends listening to this one, because I told them that this is going to be the topic. They're going to come for me. So I am like kind of the opposite. Like I don't mind texting, except it, like it's like a super long story. Just call me or something like that. But I don't like being on the phone. Like for some reason, I don't like being on the phone for, I don't like being on the phone. Let me phrase that, for a long time. I don't mind like a 30 minute call, maybe an hour, but after an hour, I think my head is just like, I can be doing so many other things and I want to pay attention to what my friend has to tell me. So I think for me, I love a voice note because I can hear your voice. And I think when people, my friends are all hilarious. So when they're telling me a story, it's like, I can pick up on their cadence and it's really funny. And then I would say the memes thing. I love that. I absolutely love that. I always send them something funny. Like me and one of my friends, she lives in Rhode Island. I always send her like memes and stuff about like Stitch, like the cartoon character, because like we love him. He's so adorable. So I'm always like sending her like cute things or whatever about Stitch and stuff. So random. And then I have like my other friend in California, Yaya. So she, shout out to Yaya. We have, I think, honestly, kind of like the best rapport, I think, because we really take the time to go and see each other. And I know that's like not, it's not like not uncommon, but it's like it's a privilege to be able to do that. So like I try to see her at least like one or two times in the year, and she comes to New York sometimes and stuff like that. But I know that's like a privilege to be able to do that. Like schedules got to connect and stuff. So we usually try to give each other like a week in October, and then sometime like one, like in the like June or July or something like that. So I think it's just like trying to keep up, you know, with your friends and seeing what's going on. I'm definitely a texter, but
a texter.
I am.
Yeah, I'm bad with texting, and I tell people this all the time, especially now, like. I use WhatsApp a lot this mm-hmm. side, and my WhatsApp explodes daily. Like on any given day, I can be texting between 15 to 20 people. I'm not exaggerating. So, but it's like work related. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case and you're like family or my friends, it's likely it might end up going to the bottom, because my mind works in like priority, like, okay, I know I have to get this done and I have to respond back to this. It's time sensitive, because if I don't respond back to like work related stuff with my music, like it's not moving, it's not shaking. So yeah. I'm very, very diligent about staying on top of those communications. Mm-hmm. So my friends now know, like, just call her, and if she doesn't answer, she's going to call back. Mm-hmm. And then we can like, stay on the phone and hang out. And I also find specific times that are good for me. So if I'm cooking dinner or cooking, period, that's like the perfect time for someone to get on the phone with me.
I agree.
Like that's the, yeah, that's when I return my phone calls, is when I'm cooking. So my friends will be like, you're always cooking. And I'm like, I know, because this is the best time for me to call you. It used to be when I was driving, like, I can't say that out loud.
Yeah, but like it's hands-free. It's hands-free,
right? So you put it up on the dock and then I would, exactly. I would call by. So now that I don't drive anymore, it's when I'm cooking.
Sure. Yeah. I think you could like hit the like nail on the head with that one, because I think I need to be busy when I'm on the phone. Like if I'm doing something, I can multitask in the conversation. Like it's good to do that, especially like if I'm, like you said, cooking, if I'm driving, if I'm doing errands.
Or at the gym. Yeah. When I'm on the treadmill, I don't mind being on a phone call because the time will just move so fast. Being on the phone. Or if I'm just like laying down and my friend calls, I'm like, oh, time to get to those chores and the house things that I needed to do that I was probably pushing off. So I always multitask when I'm on the phone.
A good hot girl walk too, because you don't want to be walking and like, you know, people kidnapping people. So, you know, you have your friend on the phone. Like I always do that. I think, I definitely need to be busy. I think that's my problem. If I'm not busy, it's like hard for me to maybe like pay attention. Maybe I need to go see a doctor about that or something, because I can't, like I need to be like physically busy in order to really pay attention to a phone call. So yeah, I totally agree with that. Oh
yeah. Maintaining relationships can be a bit challenging in general. So then when you add distance to it, it's kind of like another layer, but I feel very fortunate that like people didn't forget about me when I left, you know, people still really make the effort to just see how I'm doing and, you know, call me even if like something's happening or they want to talk about something they're going through, that I'm still that person that they call, even though they know I'm far away. So
it is a good feeling. I think it's like, and also when you connect with people's families too, like my friend that lives in California, like I talk to her sister a lot too. And it's just like so nice that like they're thinking of me when they're having events or, you know, when they're in town, like, hey, can I come see you? And it's just like a really good feeling, because even when you're friends live close to you, like sometimes it's still hard to like connect schedules. I'm just like, hey, can I see you? Like, okay, what are you doing? Like 3 weeks in October, like the third week of October, you know what I'm saying? Like, and you live down the street. Sometimes it's even hard to just connect in your
close by.
So
it is. I think you just have to be more intentional about it. Like intentionality. Yeah. Important in relationships in general, but especially when you move away, you can't just go into your own world and forget about people, because you might get forgotten. I don't know. So it's a balance, but it's definitely about being intentional.
Yeah. Because that's how I felt when I lived in Rhode Island. I obviously still have my friends in New Jersey and stuff. But then after college, when everyone who I was even roommates with like moved back to their respective state and I got a job there. So I stayed longer. And I really, that was like my point where I really had to start, you know, actively like reaching out to people. And also with the whole thing, if you're in, because I was in Rhode Island in school, but I was also like, I had to make friends again. Like, so it's just that whole thing is just like, okay, I'm starting a new job. Like I want to make friends and then keep the friends I still have from like high school and everything like that. So it's hard, but like you said, it's just being intentional with your time and those relationships.
For sure.
Yeah. No, well, that was really good. So we're going to get to our get to know you segment, our last segment, and we're going to get to know Naishi a little bit more. So this is going to be fun. Just quick, like rapid fire questions. And yeah, first one, what is your zodiac sign?
I am a Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't you tell by the music? Yes, I am a Scorpio.
Yes. One place you would love to go on vacation to?
Ooh, I would definitely love to go to Bali.
Ooh. Yeah.
I would love to.
Naishi's a travel girl, like for real. Like she's always up in the sky. So follow her for sure. It's her travel.
Always up in the sky is not even a word.
An album you listen to again for the first time.
An album I'd listen to again for the first time. Ooh, okay. I know which one. Because I abused it, like abused this album, Rihanna and Rihanna's Auntie. Like, take me back to 2016. I will listen to that album again and again and again and again. There are like no skips on that album.
Seriously, I just like re-listened to it like a week or two ago, and now I'm in a Rihanna rabbit hole again. And I'm like, yeah, I do need the album now. Like, I love the Fenty Gloss, but I want the album. Your teen celebrity crush?
Taylor Lautner. I was team Taylor all day, every day. I went through like a Twilight craze. It was actually insane.
A show or a movie that you're obsessed with right now?
Ooh, okay. That's hard because I don't watch a lot of TV. It's actually very difficult to get me into a show. Oh, wow. The last show that I watched was Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, man.
Yeah. Love Bridgerton. It was Bridgerton. Yeah. So I'm the type of person you have to recommend a show to, and it has to grab me in the first episode. Mm-hmm. So currently I'm not watching anything significant. I'm watching Owning Manhattan.
Oh, which, yeah, is it good?
Which is like, it's a reality, like real estate.
I love that.
Show. So I enjoy just watching it in my pastime, putting it on in the background, but I'm not watching anything at the current moment that's like has me glued to the TV. The last thing was Bridgerton this last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bridgerton was good. Bridgerton's good. I want to watch that Owning Manhattan too. I love like reality, like reality series, like what's it called? Like Selling Tampa, you know, Selling Sunset. Like I love all that.
Yes.
So that's definitely up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely would recommend it. It's actually quite good.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it. Three things you must have in your purse at all times.
Concealer. My chestnut MAC lip liner.
A staple.
And a gloss.
Yes.
I can do without everything else. Like I have my cards on Apple Pay, my ID, my everything. Like I can go without everything, but I must have my concealer, my lip gloss, and my lip liner.
I love that. A song you're obsessed with right now.
A song I'm obsessed with right now? Probably like Honestly by Naishe. I have abused that song. I've listened to it so many times. And when I wrote it, actually, I said that if there was ever a song that I wrote, if I heard someone else singing it, I would listen to it over and over again. It would be that one. So shameless plug, but
no, I love it. I love it. Something you're really proud that you accomplished recently?
Probably my move to Joburg. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud that I just got up and I went. Like, I have no regrets. It's proving to be a great move. So I'm proud of myself for that. I think all around, I've just been stepping outside of my comfort zone as an artist, as a creative. I've been trying new things. I've been saying a lot of yeses. And I think that's also been like, this has been my year of yes, probably. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, it's actually been a very transitional year for me. So yeah, I would say my move.
Yay. No, that's really good. Moving is not, like we discussed, moving is not easy at all. So you're crushing it. Just keep going. And it's only going to get easier from here. Lastly, one thing you want to manifest for yourself for this year.
I want to manifest more listeners and finding my people, my tribe, my community, that love my music. I'm looking for my tribe and my community, and converting listeners into fans and people who are really going to ride with me from the ground up and, you know, continue to just hold me down through it all. So that's what I'm hoping to manifest.
Yeah, no, that's really good. You got this. And I can't wait for your new single next month. So yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to come on today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. No, this was amazing. I really had fun speaking to you. And yeah.
So just remind us again about your new single and then where we can follow you. So like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So my new single is called Almost, and it'll be released on all streaming platforms, date to be announced. So follow me for more updates and just to keep up to date with that. And you can follow me at I Am Naiche on all platforms. So IAMNAISHE.
Yay. Thank you so much, girl. It was a good time.
Yes, it was. And I'm so glad like it happened.